Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. Of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! 'Cause all my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes you have.
All my life you have been so, so good.
Praise the Lord. Good morning.
Good morning to our Friday Fellowship of Learners. You have joined us on Words from the Word, and I am your host, Overseer Paulette, with joy coming to you on this very sunny February Friday, grateful for the grace and the mercy of God that continues to give us revelatory information about Him so that our journey will be one of joy and rejoicing. Good morning. We are studying from the book by Tommy Tenley, God's Eye View. We're looking at life from a different perspective. One of the important points that the author wants to communicate to us is that there are two positions that we can look at life through. And he's encouraging the position of a God's eye view. He's sharing through the story of his little girl on an elevator and the fear she got as the elevator became more and more crowded from the angle that she was in. And she turned to him and lifted her hand and said, "Daddy, pick me up." And in that moment, he received a revelation of our journey with God and how it is changed dramatically when our Father picks us up. And he viewed that lifting of her hand to us acknowledging and seeking to become closer to God. And this is done in worship. And he defines worship as the process. And I love that. It's the process of stretching your arms to the heavens in the universal sign of surrender and desperation. It is the way that earthbound creatures get the attention of our heavenly Creator. When we worship, it is as if we look at our Heavenly Father and say, "I don't like the way things look down here. Father, will you help me and pick me up? I want to see things from your point of view." And we may not add that last part, "I wanted to see things from your point of view," but more I think we get to the point where I want to hide in you. I want to get closer to you, not necessarily see it the way you see it. I don't want to see it at all. Okay, and so just pick me up and shield me. And that is the mindset of us as we start the journey, because it's so frightening when you look around and you see all of those things on at ground level. And later he's going to talk about ground zero being that place of desperation, and it is at that place that we look to, as some people say, a higher power, okay? Look for that one thing that we feel is not affected by what we see, not affected by what we see. And so that is how he is proceeding through this book. We just got started a week or two ago. And so we want to always remind ourselves of the author's gold. His gold is to share with us a revelation. And that was that young girl lifting her hands to her father. But that process, because worship is the process of lifting our arms, and that process is what is involved in us assessing our situation. And he calls that, you know, that it's trouble, it's trials, it's sickness, it's oppression, it's injustices. That's what those purses and belts and knees of the individual all around her look like. And at first, it was doable. It wasn't many people on the elevator. But as life continues, as the elevator continues to go up, then more and more people get on the elevator, and more people become a part of our life experiences. And so it gives us a view that at some point it's going to be overwhelming. In the beginning, you can handle it. I got this, okay? I move to the back. I move to the side. So just that whole picture and ponder that view so that we can understand the praise comes in when we come to the part of our process that remembers our Father, remembers our Father. Now, while we're at the lower state, we're remembering the words, the off the stairs, we're very good at quoting the scripture, but we're not as proficient as standing on it when we have need of assistance. But it is always there to direct us to our next step. How many times have you said or heard it said, I don't know what to do, or I don't know what to do next, or I don't know what God wants me to do? We always know what God wants us to do. Now, it may not be an answer that we see a solution in as we look at the circumstances and situations, but he always says, you know, seek me first. That, if nothing else, seek him, okay? And then he tells us, you know, that we are to wait on him, and that's the part where we kind of fall apart because we are instant society. We want instant, microwave, quick, everything. And so when he doesn't come the way we think that he should come, then we become discouraged. We become frustrated. We then start moving out of flesh or, even worse, moving at the opinion or the words of other people that are not grounded in the word of God. And if someone dares to give us a solution out of the word of God, generally we can quote that scripture too. But it's standing on it that becomes our test. Standing on it, it becomes our challenge. Standing on it and trusting him for it then becomes our next stage in our process, that because we're not familiar with it in this particular area, then it's when we are to think on those things that we are familiar with, that we know he has brought us out. And I was reading, I wonder if I have it here, a daily word type thing, and what it shared was that the human brain will only function or only focus on one thing. And it shared the fact that, you know, a lot of people multitask and think they're focusing on many things at the same time, but they're not. What they are doing is going quickly from one thought to another thought, back to that thought, back and forth. So we can do that sometimes about certain situations and in certain seasons in our life. At some point, you know, that juggling back and forth starts slowing down. But the important part of the sharing in that word and that encouragement was the fact that when you are focused on one thing, you are so focused on it that you can't see the solution or the answer for it because you're focusing on that. And you can only focus on one thing at a time. So when that circumstance or situation is in our mind, we will never see the answer. We can't, because we can't think of two things at the same time, you know, unless we have strengthened those, I'll call them firing off points. Okay, well, it'll go from there and it'll shoot to the answer that God has given. Okay, and then that situation and circumstance doesn't seem that overwhelming or that frustrating, or it doesn't overcome you. You know, he said the waters will flow, but they will not overcome you. They won't overcome you because your help is there. So the word of God is there, and you're going to strengthen that muscle so that the word of God will show itself strong in your life, and that is your lifeguard. That's your life jacket. That's your saving grace. That is the thing you will reach to, reaching your hands to the Father to get a God's eye view. The word of God gives us a God's eye view. Now, it gives us a God's eye view on whatever level we are on. However, there are levels and times in our process where the things are new to us, never been this way before, don't understand why it's not working like it did before. That muscle is weak. Okay, that muscle has to be strengthened. You know, that's the resist. You need that resistance training, as the word of God says, and as those that deal with their bodies and toning and stuff like that, you know, there's a resistance training that's a lot different from a strengthening training. And so this resistance, like going up a hill, walking, is strength training. And this is overseer's analogy. But going up a hill, the hill provides resistance, actually, to the gravity and all that stuff like that. And so as you push through that, going up a hill, that they say, you know, like that exercise is a more effective one because it's addressing not just strength but resistance. And so it's making a thing stronger, and it's making it more resilient, okay, so that it doesn't wear down so quick, okay? And that's what the word of God does for us when we reach up to our Father. And, you know, we all can quote the scripture, you know, we have the blessings of heavenly places, but we have to be lifted up to those heavenly places. And so the author shares the fact that lifting up comes through our worship. Worship is the way we get the Father's attention. We get his attention. And we all know when we get his attention, we definitely have the answer right at our fingertips. And as we allow him to pick us up the way in the worship, take us away and hold us in our worship, not hold us to worshiping, but continues to hold us as we worship, as she was lifted up by her Father. And then we look around, we see things the way he sees them. The analogy he shows is talks about being in an airplane. And when you look out the window of the airplane, the whole city, you can almost see in one little spot, little tiny, tiny buildings and, you know, even smaller people and cars and such. And yet when you're on ground level, you have to look up and it's massive. It's not overwhelming, but it's It's all-encompassing. It encompasses your whole view when you look up and you only see two or three things. But when you look down, and that was the analogy the word had, the daily word has shared, is the fact that you either look from a telescope or a microscope. And a telescope, you can see the stars. From a microscope, you can only see little cells, little tiny cells. And so it's what, where we are in position, or what instrument, or what eye enhancing thing we're using, whether it's a telescope or a microscope, you know, as to what we can investigate and value and look to and assess. And so our eyes are more the microscope, and God's eyes is the telescope, seeing stars, seeing, you know, cosmic mass, volumes of space and time and things and all of those things that in our eyes we can't even see them, you know, because all we can see are the tiny cells that make up the tiny spot that's around us. But we need a God's eye view. And so in getting this God's eye view, the author shares with us the fact that worship permits us to see things as the Heavenly Father sees it. It lifts us from the pits of human problems to a higher and pure perspective from the seat of divinity. It is the power of a higher perspective. It is accessible through worship. Worship would lift our spirits. Worship would change our destiny. And worship will rearrange our future. And truly it will, because we will get a God's eye view. God's eye view. We even at some point need a God's eye view of Satan, the enemy, the enemy of our destiny, enemy in our life. Have we ever wondered about what he fears or dreads or hopes, or what things look like to him? And he fears the day that we shed our limited concept of God and the world around us and allow worship to elevate our perspective. The enemy dreads the moment worship causes us to lift our hands up to the one and Father of heaven, and gives us the heavenly perspective for a new view of life's low-level landscape. When we get that new view of God's, of the world's low level landscape, we will also understand the position of our enemy. Satan fears it. He fears the heel bruising, head crushing anointing of worship. He has always tried to snip it out, the anointing, kill the prophet, discredit the messenger, anything to postpone his pre-appointed destruction. The same worship that elevates us depresses demons. In other words, what lifts us up forces Satan down. Down is the ultimate forwarding address for Lucifer. And we need to know that. We need to know that. That's why our whole perspective will change. Our insight will be glorious, because we will get a God's eye view. So as we transition from this this chapter, we're admonished that our appetite for fast food, speedy service, and rapid religion is clogging our arteries. Hmm. It raises our blood pressure and puts more distance between us and the one who said, "Be still and know that I am God." It's time to raise our voices and perhaps our hands in worship and seek the Father's point of view. Enlighten my eyes so that I will understand the hope of my calling. And so this is, insight as to what am I supposed to do next? What, you know, I don't know what to do. What should I do? And the author goes into this understanding of being at ground zero, understanding of the fact that ground zero is a place where the world has even characterized it as a very desperate, destroyed place. And so this is a place where even in our own spiritual lives, we need a revival. He starts talking about revival. So I said, let me look up that word revival and get all of the perspectives of revival, especially how it relates to us as a body of Christ. And in the old days, I'll just call them, in past times, that's what, in times past, revivals have been very frequent in the religious community. They were, you know, they were monumental events. They were, they had a certain feel to them. They had a certain process for them, and they were very powerful. We see through the church history some very, very powerful moves doing revivals, being brought to the body of Christ to renew and to bring the worship to a new level in the hearts of people. We do it today with conferences and convocations and things like that, church words for them. And so to me, for revival, it's pretty much the same thing, is to recall or recover of neglect, oblivion, or depression. So just in a place where it's been neglected, or it's a place that we don't go often because we've been involved in the things of this world, and they have taken over. How sometimes you say, well, you know, I can't help a church right now because I got a lot of things going on in my life. And those things are part of the testimony that we should have as we navigate through those tests. It's an awakening. It moves the negativity, and it activates our attention to God, because it's a time where you're hearing him more through the coming together of the saints, doing the revival, doing the word of God. You have made sacrifices for the conferences and things like that. And it got to a point where I was looking at it from the eye of the sexual relational healing retreat. And there was a time where that just was so phenomenal, and just so many miracles happened to people. Saw them every day, everywhere we look, all through our process and our preparation. You could see the hand of God moving. And actually what we did was we were at a place of desperation and we raised our hands and he gave us a God's eye view. But we got there because we waited on him. We invested in everything that was needed to meet him in this place of revival, of renewal, of awakening, a place of no longer to be neglected nor far away in the back, way in the background, but bringing him closer to the front. There was an investment of time. There were times that the church was open 24 hours a day because we were in high preparation. We were investing in our coming together we were preparing a place of visitation for him, a place where he would meet different individuals. We labored in fasting, and we labored in planning and sacrifice and giving all our resources to that undertaking. I was recalling how the rooms, the hotel rooms were free. No one had to pay, and it would be upward to 400 people coming, and it was a small organization, and yet God moved because we waited on him, because we invested in what he wanted to do, because he lifted us up as we worshiped him through our work and through our heart, acknowledging him, through us lifting up our hands for his view, because a lot of people would say, oh, I can't see this. That's because they hadn't lifted their hands up to him. And yet there were visionaries and there were those who had. And so from the view that they were in, they saw it manifesting because they had a God's eye view. And that's what we have to restore that back into our fellowship, into our discipline. You know, our spiritual discipline should include that on a regular basis. I remember the times when we would fast as a church and miraculous things would happen. And it was such a powerful time of spiritual growth and development because we as a corporate body were engaged in lifting our hands to him. And he lifted all of us up. We're talking now about this circumcision and, you know, how the whole camp has to wait for all to heal. Well, when you're invested in him, you want everyone to heal and be a part of this awesome worship. And sometimes we get away from that because we get weary. And, you know, waiting is one of the things that the enemy know we don't do well. And so that becomes his dread. So, yes, he's going to attack. Expect the attack and be prepared for the attack. It is a time of great warfare because, remember, the enemy dreads us coming together. He dreads us worshiping God through everything we do. We were so busy worshiping that even the things that the enemy would put upon us or send our way, they weren't able to touch us because God had lifted us up. It wasn't that they didn't happen. We knew that they happened, but God handled them. God handled them because we were worshiping him, and so he took care of all things concerning us. So very powerfully and swiftly and without hesitation, without hiccup, it just went perfectly as we were worshiping him, as we were investing in what his will was, is, and at that point had been given to the visionary. And so I was looking at that, and as the author shared this tremendous growth of, 500 people were invited, but only 120 came and stayed and waited on him so that when the Holy Spirit came, they were the ones that received this powerful move of God. And we've read about it, and others, I'm sure, spoke about it during that time, but you had to be there. You had to be there and be a part of the worship. And so as a result, it's not something that has happened again at that volume where he says that a 2,500% growth in just a few hours, just a few hours. And yet we look at these things, and when we only see of the 500 only, or we'll say of 100, only 20 show up, you know, we get discouraged. They didn't get discouraged. It caused them actually to worship on one accord much more easily, okay, because those that did show up were vested in it, and they became excited for it because of the investment and the hope that had been given them by God, and the directions and instructions, let's face it, that had been given them by Jesus. And because they had a relationship with Jesus, they were able to wait. It wasn't a ritual where they wanted, let's go, let's pray, let's read the word, let's have a song, two slow songs, a mediocre. I can't say the word, but, you know, a so-so offering, a tired sermon, three fast songs, and then even going to hire a revival or a worship leader and or don't have a band and stuff. That's, I'm adding that. And a choir, okay, and then expect God to show up in that time frame, at that moment, because after all, we paid for this, and we got, and they have to go, and so this, that's it. No, everybody, stop. This is about God, and we come together to worship, and it doesn't matter how long it takes, which was one of the things that reasonings behind the retreat was 24 hours a day for 5 days. It's like however it takes, whenever it takes, we're not stopping. We are not stopping because we're in the presence of God. And so just remembering those and those moments of growth and development, those times of revival, of an awakening to a new point of view, a new perspective, and the reasoning, the understanding that we do have these blessings in heavenly places, but you have to allow the Lord to lift you up to these heavenly places. And what lifts him, what causes him to lift us up, is our worship. And the fact that our worship has to be in spirit and in truth, in the Word of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, and not quenching the Holy Spirit. The importance of spiritual events now may have a direct correlation with the investment and the measure of the weight involved. Are we waiting on God? Are we Haninian God? Or here I am. You know, I am here at your service, at your service, at your service, and then at your event service. I am here. And if, you know, I don't say it, I have to go to bed and I got to get up at, you know, 2, and then I'm off shift and I come back. No, I am here at your service whenever. This was like 24 hours a day, no matter what. And so often people may ask, how do you stay up? And you don't know. You don't be tired. You're energized because you've been lifted up past the place where the enemy would make your body weary or make your mind nod and hungry or whatever. He took care of that because we had every blessing in heavenly places that was needed to accomplish that which he had. So it's like, Lord, teach me how to teach me how to wait on you. Teach me how to surrender and wait on you. Teach me how to be still and know that you are God and you are in charge of all of this. And so we look at the fact that as we do this and as we did this, everybody was invested. We didn't just wait on the visionary to have the baby, but this was a passion baby that everybody had. So everybody was in the labor room. So often we are positioning ourselves in the waiting room, waiting on someone else to give birth. And though we may share on the joy of their birth, we should be giving birth. And that joy is, what is the joy? Unspeakable. It is beyond words. You can't, you know, you can be a mother, and your moment of being a mother or father is different from my moment of you being a mother or father, even if I invested in you or the child that is born. And so we have to purpose to have our own, allow the Holy Spirit touch us and give us our own joy babies, our own birthing, our own purpose, as it is a part of the total vision. And that's what was happening. Everybody was in the labor room, the passion of the pregnancy that we were with this offspring of the Lord, this offshoot of the Lord, this anointing of the Lord was being released in this place. And it was a powerful time. It was a time where, as a patient, we were waiting, not as a spectator, we were waiting. We weren't in a waiting room waiting on the person to do it. We were actually in there waiting on the Lord to bring forth. When we began to feel a certain panic rising in our hearts as our vision is reduced by the pressing presence of instability, disease, tragedy, misfortune, or just an outright assault of the adversary. It's at that moment that we drop all pretenses of spiritual piety and competency. That's that place of desperation. I did, I might have, but right now we are it's over our heads. Things don't look good from the position we are in, and there is only one thing to do, which is to throw our hands up in worship and shout to the Father, you know, I can't see from down here. You know, I can't see how it can be, but I know that it can because you say, and so show me your way. Show me the way that this should happen. The process of waiting on God is persistent and passionate worship. Almost seems like work to us, but Satan sees it in far more dramatic terms. He fears and dreads the day God's people set their heart to pray and worship to the Most High God. And that's why he got to those 380 people out of the 500, and they did not show up. It is when passion is mixed into the recipe that the kingdom of darkness begins to fear the light. Satan gets worried when God's people get pregnant with divine purpose. And the very idea of anointed births throws hell into a panic. The divine recipe for real revival, passionate pregnancy defined by patient waiting. Patient waiting. So God loves us too much to allow us to live in presumption, presuming something is going to happen, waiting on it from other people's perspective, sitting in a waiting room, you know, twiddling our thumbs. He wants us actively involved. He wants to touch us and get us pregnant with this passion. That is why he moves the door on us. He refused to allow his relationship with us to deteriorate into ritual. We crave ritual, but he longs for relationship, and it is time to lift our hands. Never underestimate the potential of one service or one encounter. Always remember that even one encounter with his presence can change destiny. When that birth happens and the passion is released, worlds change. You have a 225% increase in a short period of time. Tryouts for what we're halfway through. So at this point, we want to open, the lines are open, and you can share, we'll share your insights, your revelation, the thought that was most provocative to you, that was life-changing even to you, that shined the light on a part of your presumptuousness of God that needed to change, wasn't based on the consistent word of the Lord. Let's hear from you this morning. Overseer has been doing all the talking.
Good morning, Overseer.
Really. Well, good morning, Elder. How are you?
I am well. How are you? Good morning, guys. You know, two things. Thank you for reminding me of the whole retreat thing. I really hadn't thought about it in that way, and as you were reminiscing, if you will,
yes.
It just
yes.
made me, it took me back to to the essence of what it was, not necessarily to any particular thing,
right.
But the whole idea of there being a divine energy that was kind of flowing through the people that were working. So as you saw people in the hallways and different things, there was a certain connection that was ongoing for those 5 days, you know, as people were spots and places, and, you know, obviously we can only be in one place at one time, but, you know, as God was igniting fires in various parts with various people, and that was very exciting and transformative. But going back, pivoting to the whole elevator thing, you know, I know that the author, at least I felt like the author was trying to say, yes, you know that your Heavenly Father will never leave you, and, you know, he'll pick you up, and then you'll be able to see the different perspective. But what I was really getting from that was that God's heart desire would be that you trust me standing next to me. You know I'll never leave you nor forsake you, so it'll never be more than you can bear. And even though in the moment of that crisis, I don't know, to me there is a different type of a victory that comes in just standing there holding your father's hand, if we're using that metaphor as a child in the elevator, because you know that your daddy is not going to let anything happen to you, you know, and the trust, even as opposed to the cry of picking me up. But, you know, I mean, I understand. It just took me in a different kind of way, kind of. That's all.
Amen. No, that's great. That's wonderful. That's a different perspective.
Kind of like that stand, just stand. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Go
Good morning. Who is here?
Good morning.
And thank you, Elder Deborah. When you asked about revival and the true meaning of revival, and when I was looking it up, it stated in Webster that revivals happen when God people are prepared. And it happens mm-hmm. when we are ready it with tender hearts and humble spirit. And we can't orchestrate how, we just know that when he do it, it's in his power and in his anointing. And it was one that when I was studying, when I was looking at this, as you were saying with the elevator situation again, with the young girl, that, you know, after it got crowded, he wanted her dad to pick her up. But I thought of when you were stating that, that was that comfort, knowing that she was safe in his arms. And I love that song, that we're safe in his arms. Mm-hmm. And I thought about when you was talking about the retreat, it brought so mm-hmm. many. And as we go back to going back to the sexual relation healing retreat, you know, it's going to entail so much. But I can mm-hmm. remember being at the retreat and say financially we didn't have what we need, but we all sat there. We waited on God. We prayed. We interceded. Mm. We worshiped. And God came through in so many miraculous ways. You know, I can remember sitting in the wonders, sitting waiting for 2 or 3 hours, you know, until other people came out. But once you got in there, you got and you received what God had for you. And it was just, even the classes, you know, the one-on-one, but the group classes, but the prayers that went forth, the worship that went forth, and just seeing God move like never before. I mean, we saw so many miracle signs and wonders, even with the Gary and Pat with the praises and worship and the angels in the room, you know.
Yes.
God came, and he worshiped, and we worshiped through him. But it was that God I viewed that, like you said, it wasn't no big eyes. It was all of us coming together as one, corporately, obeying mm-hmm. his will and following his presence and knowing everything we had to pray about, because the enemy was trying to come forth, and he did, but he couldn't win. He couldn't conquer because God was doing it, and it was just miraculously. And I'm just excited now that I get so excited about it, because we're about to, God is doing a new thing to go back to this, you know, and to seeing maybe people who haven't been a part of the, you know, coming forth, but the retreat was, they was there. And like you said, it was free. You know, and but people came and received what they needed from God, you know, and
absolutely.
It's just what we need in this season of our lives that I'm just excited about what he's going to, the manifestation of what he's going to do, and he's about to do it. Eyes have not seen nor ears heard what he's going to do in this season, and we just have to wait on him, pray, intercede and trust him in the process, in the praise and worship that is about to happen.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And hallelujah.
Good morning.
Well, I went back to that waiting room also. I had a lot of stuff I wanted to say, but then I went back in the waiting room. And I can remember being in there meditating and not even knowing what the next room was going to be like the first time. But my focus was on the quilt. Does anybody remember when the quilt was in the room in the wonder? And I went in that room, and it lit up. And I was like, oh, God, oh, what you want me to do? He let me lay down and roll all over that quilt. And I'm thanking God in so many experiences that we had in the wonder room, waiting to get in. And as Elder was saying, when we went through the halls, we couldn't tell nobody you know, and we just, have you been there? You know, and and been where? And then go down there. I would tell them, go to the end of the hall and just take your shoes off because we were supposed to not tell. And it was, you know, it was an experience just to keep our mouths open.
Yeah.
That was something that I was learning. But I learned yesterday not to let that devil intimidate me. You know, when he intimidate us and make us doubt or think that God is not going to do what he told us he was going to do. And I was just praising God. And then I started looking in my book, and Tommy Tim, can't say his name, but he had wrote the God Chasers. And I remember I went back and got that book.
Yeah.
And I was just praising God, thanking God, because what God has given us, if we step out on his faith, everything, every promise, thank you, Lord, every promise that he has shown us or told us is already done. We just have to be strong enough in the power of his might and go ahead and do what he say. As Minister Pat just said, we don't have a clue. Eyes have not seen what he got. We serve a big God. And I was just thanking him, you know, to be around his people. When he put us, he surround us with people that have faith and believe and trust and encourage us. When, you know, when we're feeling down, if we're around somebody that hasn't stepped out on that faith, they don't understand what we're going through. But when we can be with people that's been there and done that and then can show us how to walk out, that's that light he's talking about. He wants us to be the light of the world. We the salt of the world. And we can season somebody that's going through. So I thank God for these I call this a revival too, but when we come in that big room, like we used to be at the retreats, I remember, and I must be quiet, when if we went to all the classes, and I couldn't believe that, I say, if we go to all these classes, we're going to get $25 back. And then I was like, well, I know I got my $25 back because I came to the retreat to work and to go to class. And I worked as a massage therapist there that year and went to all the classes. And when I got that $25, I was like, how could they do this? And then, Lord, the Holy Spirit said, give. And when we give, when we give all we got, God, we can't be God-given. So I just thank God for, you know, we know where we was, but now he's taking us through this new journey. But if it's time for a revival, I know he's going to give us a big hotel and we're going to bring a lot of people. So I'm just waiting in the waiting room, trusting God to go to the next place. And I know this time it's joy. It's joy. There's no doubt. So we know it's going to be like something. Overseer, you remember I went in the room and I was sitting, I told you I was sitting under the tree. And you said you didn't remember putting no trees in there.
I know.
I was like, oops. But I was under that tree. So he just want to use us for his glory. And we can have laughter and know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So I just thank everyone.
Amen.
Everyone.
Thank you.
Everybody at labors. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Passion, baby. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes. It's good to remember.
And I like this definition of revival, Overseer. It says revival is restitution, a restoration to spiritual vigor. Vigor, V-I-G-O-R. Revival is a reawakening of spiritual fervor, F-E-R-V-O-R. It is to revitalize the spiritual ardor of oneself, of a group of believers, so as to reestablish the ability to win new members to Christ. And then Charles Fergen, he says, revival is to live again, to rescue, I mean, to receive again a life which has almost expired, to rekindle into a flame the vital spark which was nearly extinguished. And that's why we need it. Yeah, I love that definition.
Yes.
And that's a lot that was happening at the retreats and even in everything we've been a part of with Labors for Christ. And God has been, he's been
and
in the midst of it all.
Absolutely. And actually, it happens at every gathering that we have. When we invest in it, it can be on Zoom. It doesn't matter. And those things should be spoken among us daily, because God has not changed. He has not changed. And that which he did in person, he can do on Zoom. He can do it hybrid. I mean, you know, he can just do it. We need to see that and the investment that goes into it. And I'm guilty. I'm really guilty because I don't work near as hard now as I did then. And when I think about it, I had a job. I was working 10 and 12 hours a day, sometimes 7 days a week. But I did not, I didn't give God any less. And now, you know, I nap all the time. You know, so it is more. It is more that we have just need to be awakened, need to be revived, just like you. That definition that needs to happen, that humini, you know, I humini, you know, that here I am, you know, use me. I'm at your service, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so it is such a wake up call, but it's just a reminder. It is such a wake up call. What he deserves, you know, the honor that he deserves to have, and knowing he's there. Sometimes we take it for granted because we do know he's there. We believe he's there. We believe that. You know, so a lot of times we're doing things that isn't what he says. He'll close that door. Remember, he said he didn't close it. He would move the door. That's it. He will move the door. You know, and you ever go somewhere and you think it's there, you go and it's not there. It's like, whoa, where'd it go? And so that we would just seek him. You know, seek him in a desperate way. Of love and reverence, not in a hopeless, desperate, but just in a desperate way of love and reverence. And so it is a time where, again, we can thank him for the discipline and the discipling. Okay.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And
getting excited about it.
Oh, go ahead. I was going with the revival again because I was thinking about, you know, when we had revival, you know, it was for, I'm going back to the Baptist. We would come together and pray and be revived. We get revival so we can have someone see the joy, the light that was in God's people, that people would be saved. And that's the same principle, with that definition that Minister Pat was given. Because we as the people of God, if I like go out, and my daughter always say, I don't like it when people be flicking their bit, you know, the light be going in and out. I was like, you make sure yours don't go in and out. So we as God's people, we have to let that flame go so beautiful and show this joy that we have. And then when we have this revival, with, in other words, a fresh anointing on the inside of us, that the people will see that we are the light of the world. We are the salt. And then they, too, will receive salvation. because revival meaning that we had it, but it's like with laying dormant. So he wants us to stay in that ignited position, so people will want to come.
Yeah. I'm excited about Saturday. I mean, Saturday, tomorrow, and the anointing and, you know, the power that's going forth with the prophetic worship.
You know? Amen. Yeah. I think that's also a part of what we see the move that God has in his church, in the body of Christ, is towards worship. It's understanding it. It's seeing it for the way he sees it, because he knows that's our greatest weapon against the enemy. And that's what we need to be able to, I don't want to say perfect, but definitely be proficient in it, so that it's fervent and it is acceptable. Worship and prayer. Worship and prayer. Amen. Amen. Well, this has been a hour-ish of Friday Fellowship of Learning. I thank everyone for being in on our session this morning. And I pray that you'll come and join us again. We thank the regulars that are just always regular. They're always here. They get the support and background of Friday Fellowship of Learners. Otherwise, there would be none. So we're here because you're here. Thank you. Thank you so much. So this is
thank you.
A beautiful, beautiful day. It seems, I don't know if it's hot or cold. Over here, don't know. All I know is no snow. But that's okay. I'm just going to move up north. But,
California.
You may be right about that. You know what? Yes, yes. Be mindful of the time.
Good morning.
Yes.
You don't have any snow because I've been asking God to send that snow to the polar bears, the ones that need it. We don't need it, but creation needs it. And I ask,
amen, Elder.
Lord, send that snow to where's the polar bears on them, and Antarctica, and all those areas where your animals are crying out to you, your creation. They need it.
Yeah.
Send it to them.
So now I know.
Illinois,
okay, so now
it.
We know the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous avail of us. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Now, I wasn't praying for snow. However,
so I asked somebody to join me in prayer.
Okay, well, okay, somebody join her. Okay. Overseer,
I
just don't sit there. I'll move it to where it goes.
He's in California now. Well, they don't ever get snow.
Wow.
That just
told
you the signs of the
time. The other day to join me in prayer that them animals may get what they need.
I join you in prayer.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Because you know what? They're going to start doing what they do, and they're going to come where we are and eat us up. They're talking about these bears that are showing up, you know, in areas, you know, because we've taken over theirs. So now it's going to change their appetite, and they're not going to want just fish. Okay, they're going to want meat. Okay, yeah, exactly. But there are so many things. Absolutely, Elder, that's wonderful, wonderful
prayer point, and Overseer is definitely 100% for God's creation. Absolutely.
Yes, the seals,
absolutely.
The seals,
it's so
and all of those. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
definitely. So, you know, it's definitely. Just we're praying for the humans, but I think we've forgotten about his creation that's moaning and groaning, and they're in need as well.
Right. You absolutely.
You're right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. One of the things Timothy shared was the fact that we spend so much money, millions and billions of dollars, trying to go to Saturn, and we don't even know the world underneath the water that God gave us.
Wow.
And so we neglected that, and we just use that as a dumping ground for things that we don't want. And so he even has young people thinking as well concerning his creation. But I just thought that, I said, you know, a 12-year-old coming to tell you that, you know, it's like, wow, okay. kind of go out there where he at. Just keep your butt down here and do right by down here, okay?
Amen.
And it's like, why?
Amen.
And has never gone to the bottom of the ocean. Never. They have never gone to the deepest part of the ocean, ever. But they all out of place somewhere trying to do
and
something.
Killing ducks.
Yep, killing ducks and whales.
If they could go to the deepest part of the ocean, I don't know, because man always trying to take over everything. You know, they just want to take over the space. You know,
well, you know, and I thought about when he said it. It's like man has always tried to reach God and be where God is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And yet probably the richest place in the universe is probably at the bottom of the ocean.
Probably.
Because Earth was not watered the way it is now. In the beginning, it was had water, but now 75% of the Earth is water. And that just happened, in the last thousands of years. So the fact that it was land lets you know that all of that land is at the bottom of the ocean.
I was watching I can't think of this country that water is beginning to take it over. What is that, in Italy or somewhere? These people were trying to get away from those that was trying to conquer them. And they, God gave them to know, you know, how to build on marsh, you know. It took them a while to perfect it, but because, you know, it would just go back down in the water. And so now the water is beginning to take it back. And they were showing all around the buildings where the salt, the water is rising. I think Italy, what is that? Italy or somewhere over in there. And I said, oh, my God, you know, that is truly something. And they say, you know, they don't know how long it'll be, but, you know, the whole place can be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that right now, that's one of the richest places. You know, there is people go there to visit and different. So, you know, that place has been in a lot of movies and stuff. They move around on boats and stuff like that. There are no cars there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting when I was watching it, and I said, Lord, you know, you have given man so much wisdom on how to do stuff, because they would have to take wood, and it would go down so far in that water you know, way down. And they say would last for years and years and years, you know, and it doesn't, deteriorate under the water. But, you know, the land that they built on, what happens is it underneath the wood will begin to, you know, cause it to go down. I said, oh, man, we're going to have to really pray, because I just can't even imagine those people going under the water, because they've already showed how far up the water has come on the houses, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they had to build up the way. It's almost like you open your door, you know, where you come in your door. Well, then the water has risen, so then they have to build up, you know.
Ooh. Well, Elder, they should start getting prepared, cause if they're making videos. I think it's Venice you're talking about, the gondola.
Yes, where everything
is on the boats and stuff like that. But, you know, the end is coming.
And that's a beautiful place.
So,
that's true.
Yeah, they need to go to higher ground. Yeah.
There is
no
higher
ground in New Orleans.
Elder, there is no higher ground.
Oh,
because
okay.
Because they're built on water. There is no higher ground.
There's no ground at all.
Right. There is no, like, you know, where we are, you know, all of that. There is no higher ground. There literally
if you come to visit, you got to land somewhere. They need to leave where they are. You're going to have to just go. Like New Orleans, eventually they're saying, hey, you got to go. It's only a matter of time. Basin fills all the way up, you know.
Right.
And they said
New Orleans.
Chicago. You know.
We're on water.
Navy Pier. Right. All the way to,
where I live.
it's marshland. You know, I mean.
Yeah.
Years ago, and it's not that long ago.
Well, Lakeshore Drive, not too far from me.
Lakeshore Drive, yes.
Water.
It's the road.
You know, take over that area. I'm not too far from there, but yeah.
God is sovereign. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's kind of funny. Like, okay, what did you really think was going to happen? Just because you wanted to put your house on the deal. You know, did you really think that, you know, your money and the architect, you know, if God says no, you know, sometimes you see that stuff and it's just like gone. Like, I don't know. It's kind of what I meant.
But I just couldn't believe the story, how it came about, you know. You know, his people trying to escape those that were trying to conquer them. And, you know, this is what they learned to do. You know, it had to take a God to show them how to even begin to build, to live out there like that, you know. And they said they couldn't drink the water. The water is undrinkable.
These people learn
how to go on boats to another area trading to get drinking water because they can't drink that water. I said, oh, my God, you know, it's just so amazing how God gives man wisdom. And, you know, the Bible always talking about wisdom, you know, embracing her and everything. And I said, now that is wisdom, to do something like that. Oh, my God, just in the place where it's looking now, oh, my goodness, it's just truly amazing.
Absolutely.
Truly. Yeah, so just thank God for that, being God.
Amen. God. But that's what we're learning, to see ourselves in the eyes of God. And once he gives us the assignment, we don't know what he's going to allow us to do. We just have to just go at it. I think that was Monday night's class. Sometimes you don't have to try to find your faith. When you hear him, just do what he say do and see
right.
the results. Once
right.
we learn
right.
it's him.
His voice, right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes.
Wants
well,
us
everybody
to be mindful,
have a blessed day.
Even
mm-hmm.
is the works of his hands. He wants
yeah.
us to. He is going. We are. Man is going to know that he is God. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah, that's it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, we know that,
he
brother.
Is hallelujah. Yeah.
They don't have a.
They don't know before this world ends that God is God.
And there's
right.
no other God.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
Man.
God alone, the living God.
Yeah.
And the wonderful part of that is he's our Heavenly Father, and we sit with him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
oh,
yeah.
Oh. Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
So what time is the service tomorrow?
10 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah, 10 o'clock.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I hear you. Yes, 10 o'clock.
Okay.
It's on Zoom.
It's on Zoom. I can, Elder Roberta,
yeah.
I can send you the invite and the information for it is on the bottom.
And
can you send it to me?
Because
I looked on Facebook. It's not there.
Huh? I'm sorry, because somebody, whoever said that, did you let me know who that is?
This is Minister Pat, Overseer Marlette. I was saying I looked on Facebook on different pages, like apostles and prophets, and I can't find it. So could you send it? Could they put it on Facebook? Because I was trying to invite some people.
I can definitely ask the Facebook monitor if they can post it. Yes.
Okay, then. And thank you.
And I can
absolutely.
Also, I don't know if you have those people's information, I can text it to you as well, Minister Pat, and you can forward it to them.
Okay, that'll be great. Thank you.
Oh, and I guess I can put it on my Facebook page. I have to figure that out, but I'll try to.
I'm going to
check. You put it on your
Facebook page. So don't forget
to
bring your oil.
Go out over
I'm sorry,
did
say that again.
Did emails go out?
Yes. Yes, the email
okay.
went out. It
yes.
went out from Elder Sharita and from Bishop, from the AN and from LSC.
Okay, I'm going to check my mail.
Okay.
I have to check my mail. Okay.
Oh.
And Elder David will be our speaker for tomorrow.
We're excited, Elder.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Hey.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
We're in for a treat.
Absolutely.
Yes. Always.
And
yes.
you definitely don't learn
something. Huh?
I said we're definitely going to learn.
We're definitely what?
Going to learn something.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes. We always learn.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Yes, we pray for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that was wonderful dialogue and conversation. Maybe we should have a segment of our Friday fellowship for, what do they call it, current events. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Elder Deborah, I'll say a quick prayer for you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for Elder Deborah, even now, Father. We thank you for endowing her, even now, Father God, with the word that you have for your people on tomorrow, Father God. We thank you for how you're going to use her, even now, Father God, to encourage, to uplift, Father God. even now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for her even now. We thank you for what you're doing in her life. We thank you for what you've already done, and we thank you for what you're going to do even now, Father God. So we just bless your name and praise your name, how you're continuing to endow her with your wisdom, with the revelation of your word even now, Father God, with the mystery of your word, Father God. So, Father God, even now, in the name of Jesus, let that word which has been sown in her life, Father God, begin to rise up and do that which you sent it to do, Father God. For you said that your word would not return unto you void, even now, in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, we bless you. We thank you. We speak strength over her even now. We speak peace over her even now. We speak healing over her even now in every area of her life, Father God. We speak joy over her even now, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we adore you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. I believe that his name is Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen.
Joy, obey, and embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You got
amen. Thank you.
Mine. With your picture showing.
God bless.
Bye-bye.